Welcome to the Cape Cod Craftsman Podcast. Today we're talking about ADUs with Ryan Castle. Ryan is the CEO of the Cape and Islands Association of Realtors. And what we're really trying to uncover is a little bit more information about ADUs. So
let's start, what they are, right? I think that's the best place to start with. This ADU, people refer to as really accessory dwelling unit. But I think most people think about it as like a carriage house or an above the garage apartment. A mother-in-law suite, those kind of things is what people would typically consider that. It's a living unit that is smaller and accessory to the main house. That's the accessory dwelling, right? It's accessory to the main single-family house that's there. And every town on the Cape allows them to some extent. And over the last 8 to 9 years, we've seen a change in the bylaws to make them easier.
What are some of the significant changes? Because I know that there's obviously a zoning impact as well as a Board of Health impact and general building code.
Yeah, so I mean, I think most towns on the Cape at some level allowed them prior to about 8 or 9 years ago when there was a real effort to change the bylaws, but they weren't being used that much. And if we back up a little bit, I think if you drive down 6A on the Cape, you see a lot of houses with accessory dwellings that are grandfathered in, probably pre-zoning, right?
Sure, yeah.
Because it's literally the way the Cape was developed, to have multiple dwellings on a property, that kind of thing, because it was kind of designed as the caretaker's house or, absolutely. You know, other things of that nature, maybe, you know, the main quarters, things like that for larger estates. And then I think over the years, you know, mother-in-law cottages, things like that. So most towns had provisions to allow for a building of an ADU, but they were either one of two ways. One, they had to be family related.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, the person living
direct
had
family.
To be family.
Yeah.
Or it had to be deed-restricted affordable, big A, capital A, affordable housing, which may have limited the what you could charge from rent, limited the income of the person, you know, had to have be income eligible to qualify. Some required you to go through the housing authority in the town to put someone in there. And I think the big movement on the Cape that started about 8 or 9 years ago was to do a couple things, and all the towns at some level have really followed suit. Some have moved further than others, but to restoring property rights. But I think one thing they try to do is get rid of the family restriction and get rid of the affordability restriction, because what they realized was these are going to be naturally affordable things, not have to be big government affordable.
Sure.
And so they're just generally going to be affordable when you allow the renting out. And then people would come to me and be like, hey, Ryan, I really want to do an ADU, but when my mother-in-law dies or passes away, because she's coming in to take care of it, you know, it's a bad thing to talk about, or she moves out and moves to Florida or something,
right?
What am I going to do with the unit then?
Yeah, is
right? If it's a family restriction, right? So I think there was a big movement to move away from those two issues and like allow caregivers, you know, and other things like that in the property that may not fit within those nice buckets. And so I think that was a big movement. And then making it easier, right? Okay. So like if you're not going outside the allowed zoning on setbacks and lot dimensions and all this other stuff, then why is it so many hurdles to hop through,
right?
Why can't it just be, say, by right, right? Like I can build a single family house on this lot. Why can't I build a little ADU in the back if I'm not needing Board of Zoning Appeals and I'm meeting all my other requirements for that property? And so I think a lot of people said, well, what's the harm? So a lot of zoning bylaws have changed over the years to allow for that.
So there's a maximum size of an ADU that you can build right now, correct?
Depends what town. Every town's different.
So it's town derivative?
Yeah, I think the idea behind it is, for example, Barnstable, if I remember correctly, 800 is the maximum size by right.
Yeah.
And then if you want to go over that, you have to go Board of Zoning Appeals.
Special permit.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Falmouth, for example, I think is 900 square feet and 18 feet tall. So does that take out the ADU above a garage?
I don't know. I think it might have to be special permit. I don't know the ins and outs of every, you know, bylaw that they have on the Cape of the 15 towns. But so some would have to go special permit for that kind of thing. And what we're finding is a lot of, you know, BZAs or planning boards, depending on who has the jurisdiction, based on how the bylaws are written, are being pretty considerate of, sure. You know, hey, this is a good thing, because I think ADUs overall help in a variety of different ways, right? It allows perhaps the elderly owner to age in place and get some income,
Subsidize, or potentially
allows them to live in the accessory unit and rent out the main house.
Right.
It also allows maybe a family who can't quite afford the housing prices we have on the Cape to rent out the ADU and get some income to offset some of the other things. And I know over the last 8 or 9 years, as we have restored property rights to owners around the Cape, lending programs are coming in and trying to help solve some of that problem too,
sure,
for construction and also on the purchase side of houses with accessory dwellings.
Yeah, I remember maybe a year or two ago, we had a local lender come around, and you know, there was definitely an incentive to, you know,
yeah,
fund these projects specifically.
Absolutely, yeah. Because what we're finding is, you know what, we probably have a very poor use of our existing housing stock.
Yeah.
From the standpoint of, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, what we know from data from the Cape Cod Commission is there was more people living in a house than they were as now. So like maybe you had a 4-bedroom house and, you know, the person that owned it had 3 kids and
spouse. They're
all gone now. And now it's just 2 of them, or even maybe sadly, maybe one of the spouses had passed away and there's one person living in that 4-bedroom house. Why not convert and allow some of those bedrooms to be used, you know, an accessory? Most accessory dwellings cap it at either 1-bedroom or 2 bedrooms. Sometimes for 2, you have to go for special permit as well. The idea is just to, you know, allow 1 to 2, maybe 3 people with some small children living there, that kind of thing, as a way to ease some of the housing burden we have on the Cape.
I remember years ago, we did a project and there was an elderly gentleman that was living in the house and he had a caretaker. And this is prior to the, you know, 8 or 9 years that you're talking about. And he couldn't have a stove in his portion of the house, which I thought was
And quite honestly, a lot of what we're talking about from the building official side is allowing someone to put in a second stove.
Right.
That when you're not changing the footprint of the house, you're not even changing some of the, you're not even changing the septic capacity because septics are done by bedrooms.
Correct.
And so you're not even changing the bedroom count. You're literally at sometimes just asking someone to put in a stove.
Right.
That's the funny part of what we're kind of asking for, right?
Some kitchens have 2 stoves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, what's interesting is, you know, there's a land court case from years ago on Martha's Vineyard that actually said that the presence of a second stove is not a separate living unit.
Okay.
However, that's not precedent or anything like that. So it's interesting how different building officials interpret other stoves and stuff like that. And, you know, second kitchen in a house, things right. like that. So several people have second kitchens. They may not have a stove, but, yeah, you know, they have a kitchen out by their pool or something right. like that, you know. And, you know, it's funny to me when towns will allow a pool house to be built or they'll allow a detached structure, but like no one can live there. And we're like, okay, but we have a housing crisis.
Right.
Let's try to figure out how to solve the housing crisis.
Do you find that there's any specific towns that are the most challenging with this exercise?
I don't want to name names, but I think several believe that. I think the most challenging for people are the towns where over 90% of the properties are probably pre-existing non-conforming anyway.
Okay, yeah.
So there's zoning bylaws, you know which of those towns are.
Lot coverage.
Like literally, they allow everyone that lives there lives in a house that would not be allowed under their current zoning, and yet for some reason they don't think their current zoning is a problem, right?
Yeah,
like,
right on, yeah.
You know, those are the towns that really crack me up around it.
Sure.
You know, or the ones that say, well, I want accessory dwellings and I love people who live there, but I don't want this. Like, so you literally are trying to carve out just the smallest little niche. And I'm like, you know what? I think the housing, here's what I say about the housing crisis we have in the Cape is we have 30 years of housing policy trying to make the Cape more affordable by regulating it more.
Right.
And it hasn't worked. And so let's see where we can unregulate the housing industry, bring it back to where we can actually restore property rights and make housing more affordable again.
Sure. Now, do you feel like the consumer that's trying to get into the Cape buy property, or is this something that they're actively trying to pursue and find?
I think what you're finding, you know, all across the country, and the Cape's no exception, especially from COVID, is more multi-generational families.
Yep.
I think you're definitely finding that on the Cape more and more as housing has gotten more expensive.
Sure.
I'm hearing a lot of stories of, say, the children are living here year-round on the Cape, the parents are, but maybe the parents want to move to Florida.
Right.
And maybe, but they want to have a place of their own when they come back for the summer.
Right. Yep.
Things like that. So maybe they're interested in ADU on the property. The kids have the main house and the parents are in the ADU or things like that. I think there's a lot of multi-generational living. I think the seasonal employment, people are thinking about how to solve that. You know, maybe an employer wants to build an ADU in back of his own house.
Sure, right.
So that he could have help
company.
For a summer. Right. Yeah. So I think there's a lot of different needs out there. And that's why I laugh when people try to get very much solving one need. And I'm like, no, more housing will ultimately lift all boats.
Sure, yeah.
Rising tide lifts all boats, and we're not trying to get so particular and try to, because there's so many different industries and so many different scenarios of people needing more housing on the Cape.
Right. And it seems like, I've read some stuff that people are staying at home until they're 26 to 28 years old, to the point where, like, you know, they're getting engaged and going to the, you know, get married before they start a family. They are, in fact, living, you know,
at home. And I mean, so, you know, the whole trends of how long people are staying in their houses, you probably are seeing this more than ever of people want to renovate their own house because they're staying in it longer.
Sure, yeah.
But pre 2008 crash, I think we saw the average length of persons living in a house was 7 years around the country.
Okay.
Post 2008, it moved from about 2008 to 2017-ish, it moved to 9 years. And now kind of post-pandemic, the average length is 12 years. Okay. And I think that's only going to get longer as we've had people fixed in low interest rate housing or, sure, you know, low interest rates and would be moving to higher interest rates. So what you're going to find is the longer someone lives in the house, the more they're going to renovate it.
Right.
And the longer they live there too, the more different life stages they live in.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, in a perfect world, not all the bylaws might allow this, but in a perfect world, I could see the life cycle of a house and a couple is they get married, they buy a house, maybe they have an ADU and they rent it out for income. Then as they get kids and their lifestyle changes, maybe they don't want a tenant on their property.
Right.
As they have kids and babies and become more of even a nuisance to the tenant, because as I talk about, you know, that kind of thing. So maybe they turn it into an office.
Sure.
Right. A home office, right? In this remote world. And then maybe after the kids graduate high school, they're like, oh, well, we have too much room. Maybe we'll rent it out again.
Right.
And then maybe as they get more elderly, they'll say, well, you know what? We don't need this much house.
We'll live
Let's
the
rent
ADU.
The main house out. Or maybe my kids want to move back and take over the main house and I'll live in the ADU.
Sure.
So I can see over a 40 or 50 year life cycle that ADU having a lot of different lives.
Okay.
In a perfect world, if we can get zoning all on board with all of those changes.
Sure. Now, is there any exercise that somebody like myself that's a builder or somebody local to the Cape should get involved in to try to facilitate, you know, opening up some of these valves?
Yeah, I mean, I know that Housing Assistance Corporation of Cape Cod has a ADU Resource Center on the lower Cape. I believe the Community Development Partnership out there does as well, where they can kind of help you, get resources around what's allowed in your town. And then obviously, you know, talking to like you guys, where y'all go and research what can be done at the building level, right? By just saying, is this possible and how does that work and everything else?
No, this might be something that you don't know, but how many ADUs are permitted and zoned?
There was a number trying to get there. I'm trying to remember what the number was. So some town bylaws have limited the number of ADUs that could be built per year.
Okay.
It's not outrageous. Like, there was a fear when you're passing a lot of these bylaws that everyone was going to do one.
Sure.
And I would look at the person and say, well, are you? Well, I'm not. Well, then not everyone's going to do it. You know, like, and it's this typical fear mongering you see among, you know, people, especially when you talk about zoning, right? That everyone's going to build the max amount of zoning allowed.
Right.
And that's just, the market's not sustainable for that. And everyone's preferences are different. So what I've seen is, I think there is an uptick. It's not huge. I think there's, you know, a handful, maybe even a dozen or two dozen in some of the bigger towns a year right now. But it definitely has been a trend in the last two or three years now that people are realizing that it's allowed under some of the bylaws and doing it.
Well, I mean, it's not a cheap exercise either, right? You're essentially building a
And that's one of the downfalls, right? Like, that's one of the things about the deed-restricted affordable stuff that we were pointing out is that with how much it is to build some of this now, it's not necessarily conducive to making money,
right?
So some of the things is, you know, wealthier homeowners who may be, a lot of them have bylaw provisions where someone has to, like the owner has to be a year-round resident or something like that. And I'm like, you know, some of this isn't going to be profitable. And so it may take a wealthier homeowner who just wants to improve the value of their property down the line.
Right.
Or it may be a second homeowner who has a different motivation. For example, I could see scenarios where a second homeowner says, I want an ADU because I want someone living on my property year-round to protect my own property, right? But it's actually kind of hysterical how some of the community members, when they get to these meetings, think that renters are bad as well. And I think that's inherently a really discriminatory tactic. So I really look at how we can, you know, look at saying, look, having someone on the property year round helps the neighborhood, right? Like, maybe I rent to a landscaper who takes care of my property and plows the snow in the winter for me, and I'll give them a discount on rent, right? There's lots of different scenarios.
They're using the local economy, whether it's like local stores or
groceries. Exactly. I can see a lot of cool things happening, a lot of innovative things that people can't account for.
Right. Now, are there any big misconceptions, like you kind of started to allude to that or falsities that you're like?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is that renters hurt neighborhoods.
Okay.
I think that's the big thing, and that renters bring violence and crime into neighborhoods. We hear that often as an opponent.
Short-term rentals specifically?
Not short-term. We're talking about long-term.
Long-term, okay.
Short-term rentals, most of them are banned from being in the ADU.
Yeah.
Some allow them still in the main house, but most of the ADUs are banned because this movement wasn't around short-term rentals, right? Like, while, short-term rentals may help offset the housing affordability argument even better,
right?
Because if you could do an ADU and rent short-term, you may make more money to be able to afford the main house. This movement wasn't about short-term rentals. This was about providing housing for year-round Cape Codders.
Which is kind of wild to me. I mean, I grew up in the Falmouth Heights section, and it was all winter rentals.
Yeah.
And then they would come home for the summer and, you know, utilize their place, but while they weren't there, I think there was a large portion of that population would rent out their house for the winter to the local.
Yeah, you don't see that as much now. I mean, a lot of landlord-tenant laws are kind of like forcing people not to want to do winter rentals. But that's where I could see the ADU on some of those properties could
be advantageous.
Come back in, and maybe even, you know, you let them use the main house in the winter, and then they use the ADU in the summer, right? Sure. As the long-term rental. Like, I could see them hopping back and forth. If the zoning bylaws allow it, but lots of different options out there.
Sure.
So let me ask you, if you don't mind, how do you kind of look at a house to see if at ADU can kind of put a footprint? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, we're trying to figure out how do we get this to happen. I feel like we've had a fair share of leads in the past couple of years that's their intent, is they either want to house their parents or vice versa. They want to take their adult children and be able to, you know, house them and be affordable. And there's a ton of zoning issues that we have specifically with lot coverage and then the size of these structures and the height and everything. It seems like it can be a zoning nightmare.
Yeah, there's a big debate between retrofitting the existing footprint and and detached.
Yeah.
Is there a lot of the normal Cape housing stock you've seen, are those able to be kind of retrofitted?
It's been a challenge. We've gone down a bunch of case studies, and to be honest with you, they usually don't happen.
Yeah, it seems like detached and new construction would be easier and cleaner from the beginning.
In new construction, we're seeing a lot more of that.
But, yeah.
To retrofit to make it happen has been, you know, tough. Just that. It's real hard.
Yeah.
And then it's convoluted from town to town. They do have different laws, and it's almost like you have to know all the zoning components specifically to justice exercise before you really go down that path.
Absolutely.
And there doesn't seem to really be anybody that's an expert on it. Trying to find the information has also been
pretty challenging.
So once again, I want to thank Ryan Castle for taking the time on the Cape Cod Craftsman podcast, talking about ADUs today.